When most people hear the phrase Good Friday, their first reaction is often confusion. How can a day be called good when it's the day Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross, a day filled with betrayal, torture, and death? It's a reasonable question. On the surface, there's nothing pleasant about the events that unfolded. Jesus was beaten, mocked, stripped, and crucified. It was a day of deep sorrow and grief. So why do Christians across the world call it Good Friday? To understand this, we need to take a step back and look at how language has changed over time. Today we use the word good to describe things that are nice, fun, or enjoyable. We might say, "That was a good movie," or "I had a good day." But in older English, the word good also meant holy, sacred, or set apart for something divine. Some scholars believe that's how the name Good Friday came about. It wasn't meant to downplay the pain of the day. It was meant to highlight its sacred purpose. It's not unusual in Christian tradition to call something good because of its spiritual value, even if it involves suffering. The Bible is sometimes called the Good Book, not because every story in it is cheerful, but because it reveals God's truth. Christmas was once known in old church writings as Good Tide, meaning the holy season of Jesus' birth. In that same way, Good Friday points to a holy moment that, though filled with pain, brought about the greatest gift the world has ever known. Some people also explain the name Good Friday by focusing on the results of what happened that day, not just the event itself. Yes, it was the day Jesus died, but it was also the day humanity's sins were nailed to the cross. It was the day the door to salvation swung open. It was the day love took the place of judgment. So the good in Good Friday speaks not to the pain, but to the purpose. When Christians call it Good Friday, they are not pretending it wasn't brutal. They are saying that through that brutality, something beautiful happened. God was working through the pain to bring redemption. What looked like defeat was the beginning of victory. What seemed like the end was the start of something new. This tells us something powerful about the way God works. He doesn't always remove us from pain, but He does meet us in it. And through it, He can bring healing, hope, and new life. Good Friday is a perfect example of that. It shows us that God can take the most broken moment and use it for something glorious. If you had been there on that day, standing near the cross, it would have felt like a nightmare. You would have seen a man who had done no wrong, suffering as if he were the worst criminal. You would have heard the crowd shouting, the Roman soldiers laughing, and the heart-wrenching cries of his mother and friends. You might have seen the sky grow dark in the middle of the afternoon, as if creation itself was grieving. Nothing about it looked good. But something bigger was happening. Something unseen. That wooden cross, meant to shame and destroy, was becoming a symbol of salvation. Jesus was taking on the full weight of the world's sin, not just for the people of his time, but for every generation. He bore the punishment we deserved, so we could receive the mercy we didn't earn. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 captures this truth in powerful words. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Jesus wasn't hanging on that cross because he had failed. He was there because he was fulfilling his mission. He didn't run from the suffering. He embraced it, not because he had no choice, but because he wanted to offer us a way out of eternal separation from God. The cross was where justice and mercy met. Justice, because sin had to be dealt with. Mercy, because Jesus took the punishment on himself. This was not a random act of violence. It was a divine plan of redemption, unfolding with every hammer strike, every tear, and every drop of blood. Think of it like a courtroom scene. A guilty person stands before a judge. The sentence is clear: death. But instead of condemning the guilty, the judge removes his robe and says, "I will take the punishment." That's what Jesus did for us, and he did it knowing full well the cost. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 puts it this way: "But God shows his love for us in that Christ died for us while we were still sinners." Jesus didn't wait for us to become worthy. He didn't demand that we prove ourselves. He came when we were still broken, still lost, still doubting. That is love in its most honest and raw form. So when we look at the cross on Good Friday, we're not just looking at an ancient execution. We're looking at the moment love conquered sin, the moment the gates of heaven were opened wide, the moment death itself began to lose its grip. It didn't look like a victory, it looked like darkness, but as the old saying goes, it's always darkest before the dawn. What happened on that Friday set the stage for what would happen on Sunday. The resurrection was coming, but first the price had to be paid, and Jesus paid it fully and willingly. That's why Good Friday isn't just a day of mourning, it's a day of meaning, a day to pause and realize how deep God's love goes. It's a day to reflect, yes, but also to give thanks. Because through the pain, through the suffering, through the blood, we were given something priceless, the opportunity to be made right with God. On Good Friday, it was as if time stood still. The noise, the crowds, the shouting, all faded into a heavy silence. The disciples had run for cover. The women who had walked with Jesus for years stood at a distance, tears streaming down their faces. The sky itself grew dark in the middle of the afternoon. The ground trembled beneath their feet. And then with one final breath, Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and gave up his spirit. At that moment, it looked like everything was over. To those watching, it felt like a door had slammed shut. The one they followed, the one they believed was the Messiah, was now lifeless. The curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom, something no person could have done. The earth shook, and graves broke open. And yet all they could feel was heartbreak. This wasn't what they expected. This wasn't the ending they imagined. That's how life feels sometimes. You do your best to trust God. You pray faithfully. You try to do what's right. But things still fall apart. Doors close. People walk away. Tragedy hits. It feels like you're stuck in a moment that makes no sense, just like that Friday. Good Friday looked like the end of everything the disciples hoped for. But the truth is, it was only the middle of the story. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he wasn't saying he was done with life. He was saying the mission was completed, every prophecy fulfilled, every sin paid for. The final sacrifice was made. What centuries of temple rituals and sacrifices pointed toward, Jesus accomplished in a single moment on the cross. The door to God was now wide open. Nothing more needed to be added. Still, for those who loved him, the pain was real and overwhelming. They had seen him raise the dead, calm storms, and heal lepers. Now he was being carried off the cross like any other crucified criminal. Joseph of Arimathea, a quiet follower, asked Pilate for Jesus' body. Nicodemus, the same one who once visited Jesus at night, helped wrap him in linen and spices. They placed him in a tomb carved out of rock, and a heavy stone sealed the entrance. Roman guards stood watch. Hope was buried. But here's what no one saw coming. God was still moving. Just because heaven was quiet didn't mean it had gone absent. Just because the tomb was closed didn't mean the story was over. That's the message of Good Friday. Even in the silence, even in the waiting, even in the pain, God is still working. What looks like a loss might be part of a bigger victory. That tomb would not stay closed. The stone would not stay in place. The guards wouldn't stop what was coming. But before we skip to Sunday morning, we have to pause at the cross. We have to feel the weight of Friday, because only when we sit in the pain of it can we truly understand the joy of what follows. If we skip past the cross too quickly, we miss its depth. We miss what Jesus endured, and more importantly, why he endured it. He wasn't dragged to the cross. He walked toward it. He wasn't powerless to stop it. He allowed it to happen. At any moment, he could have called on angels to rescue him, but he didn't. He stayed. He endured the mockery, the nails, the thirst, and the darkness. Why? Because he saw us. He saw every lost child, every weary soul, every broken heart. He saw every person who would one day cry out in pain and need hope. And so he stayed. The cross wasn't weakness. It was the greatest act of strength the world has ever seen. Paul captured it perfectly in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To many, the cross looks like defeat, but for those who believe, it is the very center of victory. It's the moment when heaven touched earth, when justice and mercy met, when love proved it would go to any length, even death, for us. And that's what Good Friday is about. It's not just the story of Jesus dying. It's the story of Jesus giving everything so that we could live. It's the story of how evil thought it had won, but was actually being used to fulfill God's plan. It's the moment when the end became a beginning. When we face our own Fridays, those moments of deep sorrow, silence, or confusion, we can look to the cross and know that God doesn't abandon us there. Just like with Jesus, he is doing something even when we can't see it yet. He is writing a story that doesn't end in the tomb. Jesus himself said in John chapter 16, verse 33, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." He never said it would be easy, but he did say we could have peace in him. He promised that his victory would become ours. And that's why the cross is not a symbol of shame, it's a symbol of hope. It's the reminder that no matter how dark life gets, no matter how final things seem, God can still bring light, life, and purpose from the ashes. So yes, Good Friday was filled with pain, but it was also filled with purpose. Yes, there was silence, but it wasn't empty. It was sacred. And yes, it looked like the end. But in God's hands, it became the very foundation of a new beginning. That's why Good Friday is good, not because it was easy, but because it was worth everything. It stands as a forever reminder that God does not let darkness have the last word. He still rolls stones away. He still brings dead things back to life. He still speaks life into our silence. Good Friday shows us that the worst day imaginable can be the day God begins His greatest work.